Chapter 12. We drove for about 10 minutes. While I wanted to go fast, I also knew that doing so would be a good way to run into something I couldn't get back out of. So I ended up going about 45 miles an hour. The area was residential, with single houses and neighborhoods located on both sides of the road. Nearly all of them looked like their owners had forded them up, and most of them had someone looking out a front window with a rifle. I couldn't remember much of the previous world, but I didn't like this new fallen world I found myself in. We pulled up to the stop sign at a T intersection. Across the street were the remains of a fast food restaurant. All the windows had been broken out, and it looked like someone had half-heartedly tried to set it on fire. With as much grease as there was in there, they must not have tried very hard. George snorted softly. I guess the food supplies have dwindled enough that there's even a demand for fast food now. As we headed south, we came to a large sign that someone had hand-painted. It read, "Welcome to Bayou La Batre. The laws apply here and will be enforced with lethal force." "Huh," I said. Bayou La Batre? Wasn't that the shrimping city in that movie? I couldn't think of the movie's name, just that there had been one. "Yeah," George said with a nod. "Looks like they take their security seriously here." I slowed as we approached the first buildings in town, another convenience store and some more fast food restaurants, since there was a barricade across the road with four people manning it. "Is there another way around the town?" I asked.
"Yeah, but there's no telling what's on it. It's a small road."
"If laws really do apply here, then we ought to be all right." I thought for a second, then made up my mind. "We'll stay on the road." As I approached the barricade, a man came out from behind the barricade and waved for me to stop. I did, at a spot marked "Stop Here" on the asphalt, and the man continued to walk toward the truck. I could see he was armed, but he kept his pistol in a holster. He looked tough and no-nonsense from the cowboy hat he wore on down to his boots. The fact that he was wearing some sort of sheriff's uniform only added to his air of authority. The people at the barricade shifted as he walked toward us. They didn't have their rifles pointed at us exactly, but they were close enough that it wouldn't have taken them long to get there. I left my weapons in the truck and got out to talk to the man. "Good morning," I said as he approached.
"Morning,"
he replied. He nodded to the truck.
"What have we got here?"
"We're traveling to Pensacola," I replied, "trying to get to family. Is the ferry still operating?"
"Last I heard it was. Been a while, though."
He cocked his head at me.
"We don't get many people traveling through these days," he said. "Most aren't law-abiding citizens. Did you see the sign back up the way?"
"I did. It said the laws still apply here."
"And indeed they do. Are you going to have an issue with that?"
"No, sir, we won't be causing any problems. As you can see, we've got 3 kids, and all things considered, I don't want anything more than to get them safely home."
He craned his neck to look at the truck, then raised an eyebrow. "Looks like you've seen some action. Also looks like you've done some scavenging. Kind of looks like you may have been looting."
I looked over my shoulder. Several bullet holes were visible in the side of the truck, including one in the driver's door I didn't remember being there before. Bundles of toilet paper could easily be seen from where we stood, as well as one of the stacks of water. "We haven't been part of any action that wasn't started by someone else," I replied. "And if we ended up with their stuff afterward, it was only because they didn't need it anymore, and I didn't want it to go to waste." I shrugged. "I have no trouble following the law, and I can honestly tell you I'm not looking to start any trouble here."
"Good," the man said. "Make sure you don't."
He started to turn away, but then turned back to me.
"I'm Sheriff Winston. If you get into trouble here, you'll come before me. Trust me, you don't want that, as I tend to settle things permanently." Makes sense, I said. Seems to be the only thing some people understand these days.
Indeed.
With that, he turned and walked back to the barricade. He waved for the other people manning the barricade to open a way for us to go through. I jumped back in the truck and drove through and on into the town of Bayou La Batre.
4 people seems kind of like a small group to keep out anyone who'd want to do them wrong,
George said.
It would, I replied. If that were all they had at that barricade, I saw 2 others on both sides of the road hidden in the forest. If we'd have tried anything, we'd have been in a pretty good crossfire.
George nodded. I guess they take their security pretty seriously here.
We drove south into the town, and it was as if we'd driven into another world. People of all races seemed to be coming and going about their business. There were even children on the playground at the elementary school we passed. It was surreal to drive through after our experiences over the last couple of days. All sorts of people, blacks, whites, Asians, all getting along and interacting as if the last month had never existed.
Weird.
Almost makes you want to stop and put down roots here,
George said.
Almost, I agreed.
You thinking of staying?
George sighed wistfully.
I'd like to. And this looks like a great place. But I promised my father I'd take the kids to my uncle's.
He shrugged.
Besides, there's no telling. A gang could come and overrun this town tomorrow. Who's to say?
Dad said that Uncle Luke would have enough force to provide a secure zone. I know you can't count on anything anymore, but if you could, Uncle Luke would be it.
We drove another couple of minutes in silence. Then he turned to me.
You aren't thinking of staying, are you?
He asked, with a touch of panic in his voice.
I shrugged.
No, not now, anyway. I told your father I would help you go to Perdido Key, and I'm going to do that. Besides, I'm still looking for my past. Maybe I'll see something along the way that jogs my memory. Maybe Perdido Key will do it. It kind of sounds familiar. If it doesn't, maybe I'll travel on from there and keep looking.
I shrugged.
These days you really can't plan that far ahead. Right now, I'm focused on getting you to Florida. I'll figure out what's next after I do that.
He sat back, apparently satisfied. He was a good guy, but both of us knew he stood a lot better of a chance of getting to Pensacola with me along than by himself. There wasn't much to the town of Bayou La Batre, and soon we were out of it and headed east. The barricade on this end of town was just past a small gun and ammo store, which somehow seemed fitting. They waved us through without conversation, and we continued to the east, paralleling Portersville Bay and the Gulf of Mexico. As we passed the sign that read, "Now leaving Bayou La Batre," I noticed someone had scrawled underneath that in red, "You're on your own." I shrugged. "You're always on your own in this fallen world."